and welcome to the Stay at Home School Mom podcast. My name is Ginny Suford. I'm joined by my co-host and friend, Mary Ellen Barrett. Today, we have a terrific topic for you. It was suggested by our Facebook buddy, Megan, or Megan, depending on how you pronounce it. But first, we have to pay some attention to our very kind friends at Seton Home Study School. They're the ones who make this podcast possible. Seton is the premier Catholic home study school. They've been providing books, lesson plans, grading services, guidance counseling for 40 years now. They have graduates that have attended every major college and university in the United States, quite a few outside of the United States as well. But here they include the Ivy Leagues, the military academies. Seton partners, you're kind of involved in this more than I am, Mary Ellen, with the Newman Guide Colleges to encourage graduates to continue an authentic Catholic education after their homeschooling is over. So please check out their website at www.setonhome.org. And Mary Ellen, maybe you want to introduce what we're going to be talking about today.
Yeah, this is another one in our series, our occasional when we get around to it series called Homeschool Roadblocks. Megan asked us, what do you do when you are drowning? And she sent us this cute picture of, it looked like six children, and the oldest looked to be about six or seven. All of these little domino children. They were adorable. But she's finding herself a little bit underwater, understandably. So what do you do when you're drowning? And this is not actually, it sounds like a health and safety topic, but we're not actually getting near any water today. She contacted us and she wants to know, how on earth do you actually get this stuff done when you have all of these small children? And like, it feels a little chaotic. And we've been there, right?
Well, we've both been there.
We've both been there many times.
I did not have seven kids in 7 years, but I did have 5 and 6 years at one point. And I had lots of kids, older and younger as well. So I, yeah, you know, up to 12. And Mary Ellen, you had, oh my word.
I had them in groups. I had like three in a row. And then I had two-year break. And then I had 2 11 months apart. And then I had a 2-year break. And then I had twins. And then when they were two, I had the last one. So I had little breaks in between there. You know, as soon as you stop nursing, you get pregnant again. It's what happens.
Basically is what, I mean, a couple of times with me, I didn't even have to stop. But
yeah.
As soon as you start giving those solid foods. But so anyhow, both of us know something about drowning.
We
have survived. And more than the fact that we've survived, I think my kids have thrived. You know, my kids are all adults now, and I'm sinfully proud of them. I mean that sincerely.
You have an amazing family. They are nice people. They adore you and your husband. You have beautiful grandchildren. I mean, you hit the jackpot. And I think you and Ed have a lot to be proud of. And I think, you know,
and a lot to be grateful for.
Yeah, definitely. But pat yourselves on the back because you did a great job.
Thank you.
And my kids, I'm proud of them too. They're doing well. You know, we're not quite there yet with everybody. I still have 2 seniors in high school and then I have 1 freshman. But everybody else is at, you know, graduating college. Kelly's in hair cutting school, trade school. So they're doing really well. You know, they're good, hardworking kids. And we're proud of them.
Can't ask for more than that.
But there were days when I thought I'd never get there.
Oh, no kidding. No kidding. So I do understand the drowning. Believe me, I hadn't quite put it that way. But boy, I had the little straw sticking up through the top of the water, too, trying to gasp for air. But first, before we get into how to cope with this, and we're happy to talk about that, can I give you just a little word? Any of you moms that are facing this right now saying, I don't want to do this another day. I mean, how can I possibly do this? My husband just took a second job so we can pay the mortgage. It's all on me. Believe me, I get it. But this is about as tough as your life will ever be. Kids from big families learn to help pretty early on, and they can make all the difference in the world. So, you know, our moms who have 5 kids and the oldest one is 6, for Pete's sake. Well, a 6-year-old can't be a whole lot of help, a little bit of help, but not a whole lot. But let me tell you something, 10-year-olds, they can set the table, they can do dishes, they can fold laundry, they can watch the toddlers while you cook, they can get breakfast on the table. My grandchildren, I'm a grandma on wheels. I visit people's houses all the time. And I have 9 and 10-year-old grandkids that make their own breakfast. And by that, I don't mean pour cereal. I mean, they make themselves an over-easy egg with cheese on top and, you know, some toast on the side. Things can get much better in a few short years.
Yeah. And until they do, you just do what you need to do to keep your head above water. So this is not the time of your life when you are going to be cooking gourmet meals, when you are going to be going out a lot, you know, traipsing around, doing things. You're mostly going to be a homebody who's just doing the best she can to keep everything at some kind of even pace and to keep your sanity. And that is fine. It is okay if you have a sticky kitchen floor and you are making scrambled eggs for dinner. That is absolutely fine. Everybody's fed. Everybody's, you know, clean and dressed and whatever, or they're back in bed and asleep, and then you can take a breath. You just do what you need to do, because you will get there. And I spent so many years thinking, this is just going to be my whole life. I changed diapers for 17 years. I mean, 17 years, that is a long time to change diapers.
Never had a kid out of diapers. Yeah.
It was when my youngest turned 3, I said to my husband, this is the first time we have ever had one really turn 3. And I wasn't either pregnant or nursing the next one. And I said, isn't that sad? And he said, well, it's really kind of nice. Now, we were in our 40s at this time.
Yeah, we were old. We'll be able to eat, you know, in our old age because of this.
But it was a little sad. I felt a little poignant about it, I have to say. But it was nice. And you do get there, you know.
You do get there eventually. Yeah. Although I had the same thing. You know, I had a baby when I was 40, and it was a horrible pregnancy. I mean, that kid sat on my sciatic nerve for 9 months.
Oh, that's the worst.
Banging on it, you know. And then it was... I couldn't take epidurals anymore. I had to go natural. They're going to cut this out. But she was 10 and a half pounds.
Oh, my Lord.
I know. And it was totally
that
natural.
That skinny little woman? It was.
No, this was a different one. But she was 10 and a half pounds. And then she was a horrible baby. She didn't sleep the night for 2 years. I mean, she was just horrible.
Oh.
And I remember saying, God is trying to tell me something. However, I had another baby at 42. So I guess I didn't listen too well.
Goodness.
But she was as easy. The one I had at 42 was an easy pregnancy. It was an easy delivery. She was an easy baby. She slept the night right away. And I remember apologizing to God. I remember saying, all right, you've taught me my lesson. You've taught me my lesson. I'll have as many as you send me. I'll be, you know, I'll be happy. And that was it.
Yeah.
You retired me after that. So you never know what life holds. But you're right. Just keep your head above water. But while you're keeping your head above water, you teach those kids every blessed household task.
Yeah, it sounds terrible, but keeping them on task and keeping them up to task, meaning that when you have a 3-year-old, he can put his clothes in the hamper. He can be taught, and you'll have to do it 80 times before he gets it. But when you get him undressed, you hand him the little ball of clothes and you say, okay, go put it in the basket.
Oh, he can do that. I've taken diapers off kids. And you know, the diapers, the disposables, you kind of put the tapes on them and roll them out to a disgusting little round thing. And I've handed to the kid and said, okay, put your diaper in the trash.
Right. Little 3-year-olds can do those things. You can give them a little damp rag and they can wipe up the tables. They can get at least the surface dust off for you.
Well, it's very Montessorian, you know, they teach them that in Montessori schools. You pay a fortune. You can do that for free at home.
You can. A 5-year-old can push a Swiffer around, you know, easily.
Or one of those little stick vacuums that they have now that aren't quite so heavy.
Or a hand vacuum and do the stairs, or there's lots of little chores that just take it. It's one less thing for you to do. And also it's one less like little dirty spot for you to look at, which I always found the most discouraging was that I would sit down to nurse a baby and I'd see a mess here, or like rings on the coffee table there, or like, why is there cheese on the floor over there or something like that. And it would just discourage me. Like, I am never going to get out of this. I'm never going to catch up. I'm never going to be able to have a clean house or feel good about this. But then you say that you grab whoever's walking by and say, okay, go get a rag and wipe down the table, go pick up that cheese or whatever it is that's on the floor, go do this, go do that. And you feel better when it looks a little better, you know, and it just training the kids to do that is so important to your mental health. I'm telling you, it's so important.
It absolutely is. And it could be like when your kids get a little bit older, you can teach the two, you know, the 12-year-old and the 10-year-old, it is your job to clear the table and to rinse the dishes off, put them in the dishwasher and wipe down the table. And then, you know what, Mom, you don't have to do that anymore.
Yeah.
I have go upstairs and change the toddler's diaper and read them a book.
I haven't cleaned the kitchen after dinner unless I choose to in years. I just sit at the table. I have cooked dinner. I have served it. And we sit down at the table every night, or almost every night. There are cloth napkins. There are serving dishes. There are all that. Now, I clean as I go. I'm one of those, you know, kind of control freak people that I have to clean as I go. So the kitchen is never a real big disaster. But whoever I think turn it is, you know, I kind of pick in my head, okay, you're on cleanup tonight. And then I get up from the table and I leave and that's it. Mommy is done. I'll go read my book or I'll go, you know, whatever. Cause I'm old enough now that I don't have that many chores the way I used to. They all do their own laundry. They all, you know, come and go. Most of them drive. So I will get up. That's it. My day is done. I don't clean the kitchen. And they clean the kitchen, like the counters, the table, the stove gets wiped down. They have to clean the kitchen. I have trained them to do that. It is the best thing I've ever done. Yeah. It is absolutely the best thing I have ever done. I'm going to be so sad when the last one moves out and I have to clean the kitchen.
Yeah, clean your own kitchen. But look, my one daughter, I was staying with another daughter and her oldest is not quite two. She'll be two in next month as we record this. And she does put her laundry. She puts her laundry in the basket. Her dirty laundry in the basket. She puts her toys and her books. She has a basket in her room for her toys and her books that before she goes to bed, she has to put all her toys and her books back in the basket. Mm-hmm. So it's not great yet, but the kid's not even two. But my daughter, she said, look, this is a big house. And she has, I think, five bathrooms in the stupid house. She says, at some point, she has to learn how to clean bathrooms too. At some point, I'm not going to be able to do everything.
Oh, yeah. All my kids have. Yeah. They all clean bathrooms. We have three. And that's an important point is that it doesn't have to be perfect. And I think some moms, and I was one of those people who had learned this lesson, just because it's not being done my way doesn't mean it's not being done the right way. You know, however they load the dishwasher is fine as long as the dishes come out clean. However they put the books back on the bookshelf is fine as long as they're not on the floor. You know, however they fold the towels is fine as long as there aren't towels all over the floor, something like that. Like we have to let go of that kind of perfectionist instinct that we have and just realize what season of life we're in and say, okay, good enough is good enough. Good enough is good enough. It's okay. Well,
and what I found, the other thing that I did was, unlike you, I didn't say, okay, it's your turn to do the dishes. I had a kid kind of on permanent permanent kitchen duty, maybe for a year or so. Or for a year or so, it's your job to do the upstairs bathroom. Or for a year or so, it's your job to do the front hall and the staircase. And then what I found was when they did that job and they did it for a long time, they took quite a bit of pride in it.
Yeah, that's hard for the kitchen when they're out. Like so many of them are out in the evening. So it's hard to, that's why I found it easier, like to sit at the table and think, all right, who worked all day? Who's working tonight? Who's, you know, got Boy Scouts, whatever, and just pick whoever's home kind of a thing.
But I will say though, I did find that with lots of jobs, if you put Bill in charge of the living room, for example, after a while it becomes a little proprietary.
Oh yeah. I can see that happening. Like, what do you mean your feet are on the coffee table? I just cleaned the coffee table. Yeah, right.
What, you just left your books there on the floor? So that helped a lot. Teaching the kids how to do every job around the house, really, really important. Another key to prevent yourself from drowning, another little life raft, is nap time. Nap time is glorious.
I would still put them down for naps if they'd go.
I know. It's absolutely glorious. And the fact is, little teeny kids, like, you know, up until, say, the age of three, They need huge amounts of sleep. They need between like 16 and 20 hours of sleep a day. And by a grace given from God, you need to see them out of your face for 16 to 20 hours a day.
Yeah, you just need the break. You do. You need the break. Yeah. If you can get the little ones all napping at the same time, which sometimes takes a little, you know, patience and perseverance to get everybody on the same nap schedule, I'm telling you, it is the best thing in the world. And I would kill anybody who interfered with that.
Just nap time. And what I found too, like I just stayed with another daughter who has a 1-year-old, and that baby goes down for a nap at 11 o'clock every day. And you can see at 10:45, the kid's exhausted.
Yeah.
And she's been so trained to go down at 11 o'clock. So don't give up. The other thing is when I hear mom say, oh, he gave up his nap at a year and a half. No, he didn't.
No, he didn't. You gave
no,
it up.
No, he didn't. No kid gives up a nap at a year and a half. He bullied you into it. And what's going to happen at 5 o'clock, it's the witching hour. When kids don't take naps, by dinner time, they're bears.
Yeah, it's true. You can tell they're just miserable. You know, kids are going to be miserable at that age for a lot of different reasons. They're teething, they're uncomfortable, they can't articulate things, but you can absolutely tell a tired baby. They have a unique screech. They have a unique kind of look on their face, and it's just not worth it when you can put them down. It really does take some perseverance to keep the naps going, but keep them going as long as you can, because
what I always felt was 1.5 to 2 years old, most of those kids should take, up until then, most kids should take 2 naps a day, a morning nap and an afternoon nap.
Oh, yeah. Until they,
like I say, 1.5 to 2. And if you have it the same time every day, and of course, by the time my littlest kids were here, we were going to museums. So I couldn't put them in their crib at 9:30 or whatever it was. That's okay. They slept in their strollers.
Right.
They were so trained to fall asleep at 9:30 and wake up again at 11 and then go back. And then the bigger nap, the most important nap in the day, the glory hour, is after lunch. So we would have lunch every day around noon. And after lunch, the kids went down for a nap. I mean, they went, this is after 2 years old, by the way, until about 4 years old. Most kids will take naps till they're about 4 years old. And they're exhausted. They need it. And if you make it part of your day, you will notice while they're chewing the last few bites of their peanut butter and jelly sandwich, their little eyes are starting to drift off.
Yes.
Because they're exhausted. They need this. And then when they start to give it up, the second most important thing after nap time is quiet time.
Yes.
Okay. You don't have to go to sleep. You can lay in your bed and read a book.
Yeah.
But you have to do something. And by the way, kids that go to all day kindergartens, they take naps after lunch.
Oh, yeah. So because that's when the teacher regains her sanity. I mean, can you imagine being in a room with 25-year-olds? I mean, that's crazy.
Maybe they could listen to some quiet music. They can read a book. What my own experience was is quiet time often became nap time.
Yeah. Yeah.
They were resisting nap time. I said, okay, well, you don't have to go to sleep. You have to lay in your bed and you can read. Which book do you want to read? Here it is. You want to have, you know, a stuffy with you? You can hold on to one of your stuffies. And then what I would find is they would go to sleep. They wouldn't look at that book. But I guess what I'm trying to tell you about this too is if you have your babies down for naps, your 3- and 4-year-old down for quiet time or nap, whatever it comes out to, you can homeschool a kindergarten or first grade or really in an hour or two a day.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Get that all done. And while you're doing it, make sure you have your glass of water or your cup of tea, and you can quickly bang out kindergarten first, even up to second grade, probably in an hour and a half while they're napping. And then it's such an accomplishment. Everything else in the day is gravy.
Right.
Everything else is gravy.
Once you've done that, it's done. So, you know, we talked about teaching your kids to help with household chores. But you also have to teach them that mommy cannot be sitting with them for every moment that they are homeschooling.
No, they have to know what the things are that they can do without you. Now, math, obviously, they're going to need their mom to help. But handwriting, they can practice their handwriting. They can maybe practice their spelling words if you've already gone over them with them. I don't know. There's a bunch of things they can do.
Even math, where you're saying you're absolutely correct that... But I was just helping one of my grandkids the other day. He's in Saxon Math 54, and they're working on multiplication tables. Saxon gives a chart. Show him how to use the multiplication chart, and he can go look up his words himself.
Yeah, use the resources in the backs of the book, and you know, when we're Seton moms, and they have a My Seton page that has resources and little videos and stuff. Make use of that so that you can get a little bit of a break. You can go turn over the laundry or, you know, whatever you have to do. Help the other kids.
Help the kindergarten kid while the first grader practices handwriting. You can absolutely do that, but absolutely they have to learn. They can't. And what you hear more from moms isn't that the kid can't do it. It's the kid won't do it.
Right. You have to foster the independence, you know, so when they do their little handwriting page by themselves, you make a big deal.
You put it on the refrigerator door. Yeah. You tell daddy about it.
Daddy, when he comes home, you tell grandma when you call her, look, I can do this all by myself. You know, very irritating when they're trying to put the shoes on when they're 3 and you want to get out the door, but wonderful when they're 6. And you know, they can do something on their own. By the time they're in 4th grade or so, they should be doing most of their schoolwork on their own. And you're just helping them by teaching them the grammar rules. You're teaching them the math, and then they're doing the assignment. You know, you're going over the instructions or the directions with them, and then they're doing the assignment. You don't need to necessarily be sitting right there.
And often the way I would sort of incentivize that, you know, they have these, like, I don't know, for multiplication, you might have 72 multiplication problems on a page. And it's just, you know, 6 times 9 sort of stuff. But I would tell them, okay, do the first 5 rows. And if you get those done and there's no mistakes, you don't have to do any more rows.
Right. Yeah. That's the way I always did it too. Or just do the evens on this page. And if you did all the evens right, then you don't have to do the odds or something like that. Or sometimes I'd set an egg timer. How many can you get done in 20 minutes? If you can get, you know, pick an arbitrary 15 done in 20 minutes, then you can have a little 5-minute break or something. Right. You know, you give them little incentivized rewards that don't cost you anything or make you miserable.
And don't make you sit there either.
Yeah. And it gets the work done. Gets the work done. So you really want to try to foster as much independence as early as possible so that it just benefits you all the way through, completely all the way through. And now I think it's time for a break. What do you think?
We are very grateful to Seton Home Study School, our primary sponsor, but we do have other sponsors and they're great Catholics all. And we very much appreciate their support.
And now we'd like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Benedictine College. Benedictine College is a Newman Guide school located in Atchison, Kansas. It is heir to the 1,500 years of Benedictine dedication to learning. Benedictine College mission as a Catholic Benedictine liberal arts residential college is the education of men and women within a community of faith and scholarship. There are over 50 undergraduate programs, 2 master's degree programs, and they are located on a beautiful, beautiful campus. Please check out their website at benedictine.edu for more information about student life, faith life, admissions, financial aid, athletics, and a variety of other things. You can even schedule a visit to the campus on the website. So again, check them out at benedictine.edu. And thank you, Benedictine College, for sponsoring the Stay at Home Schooling Mom podcast.
Hi, and welcome back to Stay at Home School Mom podcast. Today's topic, not health and safety, but just help for our moms, is what to do when you're drowning. This is directed specifically at those moms that were really good Catholics and had 6 kids in 7 years.
Yeah. Well, I do think you can be drowning with 1 or 2 kids because they're so reliant on you. You know, it can be a little bit like if you have that kid just wants to talk to you all day long too.
I know that can be
a lot too. You could just be overwhelmed, I think, with anything. But we were kind of asked to do this by a lovely lady on Facebook named Megan. And she had all of these small children, and it looked like the oldest couldn't have been more than 6 or 7. And they were all these little, you know, this little row
really
of
cute kids,
really cute, adorable children. And she kind of felt like she was drowning. So that's why we're doing this specifically for you, Megan. But we talked about a bunch of different things about fostering independence and just realize that this is a stage in your life. This is not your whole life and it's going to get better. What about outside help, Jenny? Because I've resorted to that several times.
You know what? Let's get past this idea that we should be able to do everything on our own all the time. Now, for some of you, this is not an option, but you might, a grandma who's not willing to come over and homeschool your kids or stay with them all day might be willing to come over for 2 hours on a Tuesday afternoon every week. And you can plan your week around that 2 hours.
Oh, I would. Yeah.
Yeah. Your mother-in-law comes over for 2 hours on Tuesday afternoons and just takes the toddlers to the park. That's all she has to do is take the time. And wow, your whole life is different. You know, nannies, most of us can't afford nannies, but maybe a local teen could just come over to the house as a mother's helper after school. You don't have to pay her as much as you would pay a professional service, but it allows you to make dinner or clean.
I had my friend's daughter came over twice a week for 3 hours. She was homeschooled too. So she could come, it was like 12 or 1 o'clock, right after lunch, I guess it was like 1 o'clock. And that would be when I would go out and do the grocery shopping, run all kinds of errands, or I would go clean upstairs and she would have the kids downstairs or out in the yard or something like that. And it was just wonderful.
It's wonderful, right?
It's just wonderful.
Well, there's double points, definitely, if the kid is homeschooled and give you hours during the school day. But I used to have, this was a pretty good deal too. This is when my kids were still in school. We were still living in New York. And it's when I had those 5 kids in 6 years, that time.
Yeah.
I didn't have twins. I had 2 4.5 months apart because we adopted an infant after I had an infant.
That's just crazy, Jenny.
It was crazy. I know. I was so bad at family planning, I couldn't even plan my adoptions. But I had next door a family, the loveliest family, and they had 5 daughters. And at the beginning of summer, I remember going over and saying, I don't care which one of you comes over. This is what I pay per hour. And I think they worked from 10 to 1 or 10 to 2 or something like that. Oh my word, what a difference. What a difference. They could just take some of the kids out and push them on the swing. So I wasn't in charge of every single kid. So if you can get some sort of outside help, it can make all the difference. If your mother-in-law asks you, what do you want for Christmas? Well, there's a maid service in my town. How about you get somebody here to clean the house before Christmas?
That is the best gift in the world. My husband did that for me once. He was arranging for it, I think for Christmas or I forget what. And all the guys he was working with were saying, that's a terrible present. It's like telling her house is dirty. She's going to get mad at you. And then I guess they all went home and told their wives, you know, Dave's going to be in big trouble. And then they came back and asked him, who was that?
Who
that
you called?
How did you set that up? Because there isn't a woman in the world who's going to say no to having her house cleaned for her. There just isn't. And it's a wonderful gift. And I actually did have a cleaning service for about a year after the twins were born, every other week. And it was life-changing. You know, it didn't mean I didn't clean. It just meant like that deep cleaning happened every 2 weeks, all the floors,
let's say,
the windowsills.
How often were you going to do the tiles around the tub?
No, really, never. Because I had twins. It was mayhem. It was just mayhem. So no, it wasn't getting done unless somebody did it for me. And it was just such a blessing. And it was worth doing without something. You know, we had to find room in the budget for it. Like there were things we went without in order to pay this woman to come in and clean. And it was providing income for her. You know, sure. she needed a job. This was a good job for her for whatever reason. And it was just a wonderful blessing all around for everybody. So that's a great gift. Ask for that for Christmas. You don't need another sweater or a pair of earrings. This is what you need.
Well, yeah, most Americans don't need things, but we sure could use help. So that's a biggie. Yeah. The other one is, if you're really feeling like you're not getting anything done, talk to your husband. You know, he's not going to come. At least my experience has been, he's not going to come home and make dinner and do the dishes. He's just not. But he might take the kids out to the park on a Saturday or a Sunday for a couple of hours, mm-hmm. or take some of the kids out to the park on a Saturday or Sunday. And that gives you an opportunity to work on that spelling that you just, or that English was so hard, that diagramming, I just didn't understand it. I really have to sit with it. So just leave the second grader home and we'll work on diagramming.
Yeah. This is a terrible thing I did to my husband once. I was so overwhelmed. He laughs about it. He was a good sport. He had brought down all the Christmas decorations from the house, you know, from the attic. So there's boxes everywhere. The tree is up, the lights are on, but I have to get it decorated. I have to cook dinner. I'm just not good with a mess in my house. So like there's boxes everywhere and it's driving me crazy. Every time I try to put an order, they were little. Every time I try to put an ornament on a tree, somebody's grabbing something. It was just, he was downstairs watching a football game.
Oh,
I got them all dressed. This is like at 2 o'clock on a Sunday or something. I wash them all up. I get them dressed nice. I get them bundled in their coats. I put them in the car. I start the car. I go downstairs. I said, get in the car. Go get in the car. Where am I going? I don't care. Get out of here. Don't come back till 5 o'clock. Just go.
Just go. Bye.
Just go. He took them to the aquarium. We have a very nice aquarium here.
You wouldn't care if it was the library. You wouldn't care.
No,
where
I didn't care if he took them. I don't know, anywhere.
In Buck too.
And okay. So in that 3 or 4 hours that he was gone, I decorated the tree. I cleaned the house. I got dinner started. When he came home, I was sitting down with my book and a glass of wine, and I was just the happiest person on earth. And he said, why didn't you just tell me you need this? Like, why did you have to order me out of my own house on a Sunday? I was like, I'm sorry. I couldn't take it anymore. He's like, all right. And from then on Saturday afternoons, he would either say to me, go out and do your thing for a few hours. Or he would take all the kids to the park or to visit his mother or to do some fun daddy activity. So I would get a few hours of just peace and quiet. So important. Talk to your husband. He's probably really willing to help you. He just has no idea what to do.
I was going to say, most men, you know, if your husband loves you and you love, they're just clueless.
Yeah, they just don't know what to do because you're so in charge.
You have to kind of tell them, look, if you would take the kids, I don't know, upstairs and do bedtime with them and read them their book and say their prayers and all this sort of stuff, then I can fold my laundry.
Yeah, they just need that little bit of direction. And there's in no way, we're not saying they're stupid. We're not saying anything detrimental. They want to help. It's just maybe they've been gone all day. They don't know what the routine is. They're not quite sure where to jump in. They don't want to interfere or add to your burden. So just be articulate with your husband. Say, I could really use you to be in charge of this or you to do this for me. Discuss it with him, prayerfully discuss it with him. I'm sure that will go well if approached in that way. Just, I need help. Or even like as a problem solving thing, I'm overwhelmed. This is what I have to do every day. Where do you see that, you know, I can get help?
Yeah, I remember one friend, and this is expensive, but they didn't do it forever. I think she had just had a baby. This is a long time ago. Do you know what Fluff and Fold is?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, we have one here. I've used that too.
Yeah, I've never used it. I'm very picky about my laundry, I have to admit. I don't even let my kids do laundry. I like to do the laundry the way I like to do it. They can do other things.
Everybody's fussy about something.
I'm crazy fussy about my laundry. I never mix whites with colors. I don't mix the dark colors with the light colors. Yeah. I'm a lunatic. I am.
Too. But yeah, no, but there was a time in my life when I would have, you know, paid the devil himself to do laundry.
But that's it. On the other hand, though, if you have a little bit of extra money, your husband can take the wash in the morning, drop it off at these Fluff and Fold laundromats. Somebody else does it, folds it, puts it back in the basket, and he picks it up at night. Now, it's an expensive option.
It is.
But maybe just for a couple of weeks after you have that baby or when you're recovering from the flu or whatever it is, might be an option for you. So look around for little things like that. And, you know, your husband might be willing to have clean underwear. He's willing to drop it off at Fluff and Fold.
Yeah. I've presented my husband with that. That thing. Do you want clean underwear for tomorrow or would you rather have dinner? You know, and those are the nights you order a pizza. And that's fine because
that's
sometimes
fine.
It comes right down to that. Like there's only so many hours in the day. There's only so much I can do. I'm tired. I have to nurse a baby. I have to clean up after a toddler. We need to have a pizza.
I used to say that, like I'm the only me I have.
Yeah.
This is the only me I have. So the other thing though, if nobody's around, you can't get any help, whatever, try to get, and you can buy these toys cheaply. Sometimes you get them for free from people who are casting them off. Get like Duplos or finger paints or something and let your little kids be part of the classroom.
Yeah. It's fun to have a little box of like their activities. They call it their school. It can be magazines they rip up and glue stick into things. It can be, and I used to buy those cafeteria trays so they could do it on that. So it's a little bit less of a mess. Paint, a little cup of water, a paintbrush and construction paper. We'll keep a 3-year-old happy for an hour. Really?
It will.
Stuff like that. And call it their school, you know, and then they're happy actually because they want to be part of things.
It makes them feel grown up and everything. Then another thing that I found worked great. Now I lived in Chicago, so this was only part of the year I could do this, but when the weather would allow, we would homeschool outside. I had a picnic table outside. The school kids sat at the picnic table and the little guys could run around the backyard.
Right. Yeah. We did deck school. We called it deck school. And while the toddlers are running around, the big ones do school. And then when somebody finishes, all right, go play with your brothers and sisters while I work with this one. Go play with your, you know, and we'd switch kids, which is another thing is you play revolving kids.
Yeah, I did that quite a bit too.
You revolve the children around.
Finished his spelling. He can go and watch the little kids and send the third grader in and I'll do spelling with the third grader.
Right. Yeah. And that, I mean, it takes longer. Your school day is definitely going to be longer, but it's, you get to focus on that one kid a little bit more.
Keep them grounding.
It is how you keep from drowning. And again, your kitchen floor might be sticky for a couple of weeks, but that's okay. You know, that's all right. You hand the husband the mop when he gets home and you just don't think about it too much. You just need to do what you can do in the season that you are in and know that where you are is where God placed you. He is going to help you. I prayed to the Blessed Mother all the time because she was a mother and she understood how I felt. Really keep Mary on your side there. Always, always, you know, keep your rosary in your pocket, say Hail Mary whenever you can. Really devote yourself to these children and to God's will for your life, and it'll all be fine. It will be. You're just going to be tired for a long time, but it really does get better, I promise you.
It does get better, and The other thing that I'd really like to point out is this: your children are not going to remember whether their feet stuck to the floor a little bit.
Oh, they are not. No, they're not. But they're going to remember like watercoloring with you or running right. around in the backyard or going to the park.
Well, you did schooling or dad took them for a ride every Sunday afternoon. Yeah. So you're making nice memories at the same time. While you're not drowning, you're also making nice memories.
You are. You are. They'll always be grateful to you for this time. They really, really will. I promise. Because I didn't think my kids would be. Yeah, they really are.
No, mine are too, I have to say. I mean, they kid around a lot about. Yeah. I was helping my one daughter get her winter gear out. And as I'm going through the hats, I was lining up all the winter hats. And one of them said Seton Home Study School. They got spirit wear. One of the sisters got it and sent it out to all the other sisters. And I think it was sort of a ha-ha, but.
Yeah, that's funny though.
But they
cute.
Have nice memories of being mom. You know?
That's great.
Anyhow, speaking of Seton Home Study School, we would be nowhere without our support staff at Seton Home Study School.
Oh my goodness, we would. This would not be happening at all. We'd still be pressing buttons trying to figure out how to do this.
We are very, very grateful to them. We're grateful to Jason Lowry and Jim Shanley and Robin Hibble and the staff at Seton. And we're very grateful to you, our listeners. Please go like and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. And God bless you and your family.
God bless you. We'll see you next Wednesday.